ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're reading 8th Canto, Chapter 3, Text 12. Namo Santaya Gauraya, Mudaya Gunadharmine, Nirvisesaya Samyaya, Namo Jnana Ganaya Cha. Nama Santaya Gauraya, Udaya Gunadharmine, Nirvisesaya Samyaya, Namo Jnana Ganaya Cha. Nama Santaya Gauraya, Udaya Gunadharmine, Nirvisesaya Samyaya, Namo Jnana Ganaya Cha. Namaha, all obeisances. Santaya, unto He who is above all material qualities and completely peaceful, or unto Vasudeva, the super soul in every living entity. Gauraya, unto the fierce forms of the Lord, like Janmadagya and Narsingadev. Mudaya, the form of the Lord as an animal, such as the boar. Gunadharmine, who accepts different qualities within the material world. Nirvisesaya, who is without material qualities, being fully spiritual. Samyaya, Lord Buddha, the form of Nirvana, wherein the material qualities stop. Nama, I offer my respectful obeisances. Jnana Ghanaya, who is knowledge or the impersonal Brahman. Cha, also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Vasudeva, who is all providing, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Narsingadev, to the Lord's form as an animal, Lord Varaha Dev, to Lord Dattatreya, who preach impersonalism, to Lord Buddha, and to all other incarnations. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has no material qualities, but who accepts the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance, within this material world. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Purport. In the previous verse, it has been described that although the Supreme Personality of God has no material form, He accepts innumerable forms to favor His devotees and kill the demons. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that they are like waves of river. The waves of river flow incessantly, and no one can count how many waves there are. Similarly, no one can calculate when how the different incarnations of the Lord appear according to the necessities of time, place, and candidates. The Lord appears perpetually. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, adbhutyanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamiham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice or descendant of Bharata and a predominant rise of religion, at that time I descend myself. In the material world, there is always the possibility of deviation from Krishna consciousness, and therefore Krishna and his devotees always act in various forms to curb such godlessness. Even impersonalists who stress the knowledge feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who want to merge in the effulgence of the Lord. Therefore, here the word Jnana Ghanaya indicates that for atheists who disbelieve in the form and existence of the Lord, all these various incarnations appear. Since the Lord comes to teach in so many forms, no one can say that there is no God. The word Jnana Ghanaya is specially used here to refer to those whose knowledge has become solidified by dint of their searching for the Lord through speculative philosophical understanding. Superficial knowledge is useless for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one's knowledge becomes extremely intense and deep, one understands Vasudeva. Vasudeva sarvam iti sa mahatmasu dulava. A jnani attains this stage after many, many births. Therefore, the word Jnana Ghanaya is used here. The word Santaya indicates that Lord Vasudev is situated in everyone's heart but does not act with the living entity. Impersonalists, jnanis realize Vasudev when they are fully mature in knowledge. Vasudeva samam iti sa mahatma sudurlava. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishes Sunyavadi Prashchata Desitarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gauru Bhakta Vinda. Everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we can all repeat. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Vasudeva, who is all providing, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Narsingadev, to the Lord's form as an animal, Lord Varadev, to Lord Datatriya, who preach impersonalism, to Lord Buddha, and to all other incarnations. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has no material qualities, but who accepts the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance, within this material world. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto the impersonal Brahman effulgence. So I was listening to Srila Prabhupada this morning before I came, and Prabhupada was asking devotees Srila Prabhupada was asking devotees, he said, how many of you think you are achutya? And then he asked, how many of you think you are chutya? Achutya means, how many of you think you are not fallen? Not fallen. And then he says, chutya, how many of you think you have fallen? So that's a good start. It's a very good start. And Prabhupada goes on to explain that Krishna bhuliya jiva bhoga vanch kare pasate maya tare chapatiya tare. That the moment we is, living entities have the slightest, tiniest of desire to be away from Krishna, to be independent of Krishna, then immediately Maya will grab you. Immediately. You know? Just like you see in this country, almost every house has many lizards, not just one, but many lizards, right? And then these lizards at night, they are crawling all over the floor, all the walls, and they are crawling around wherever there is lights. And the mosquitoes, they are very naturally attracted to the lights, you know. Even when you drive at night, you see all these bugs that fly straight into the lights, you know. So the mosquito is getting closer to the light, and then the lizard throws his tongue out. You know, sometimes if you look at the tongue, it seems like the tongue is longer than the size of the lizard. And it goes and grabs it, just like that. Whoops, and it's gone, you know. So just like that, Prabhupada is explaining that the moment we think that we do not want to be with Krishna, then we immediately, you know, fall into the lap of Maya. Maya immediately grabs us and they says, okay, now come and enjoy Maya Loka. You know, come and have some fun here and see how nice it is. So just like in this chapter, we are, you know, remembering the history. It's actually history, it's not just a story, you know. It's not a fairy tale story. It's a realistic history where Gajendra, you know, moksha takes place. Previously, who was Gajendra? How many knows, how many people know who was Gajendra? Oh, many, very nice. Okay. So Gajendra was King Indradumna. So why did he turn out to be into an elephant in the next life? He must have desired to become an elephant. He offended Agastya Muni, you know. So what do we learn from this? First lesson is never to offend anyone, because every body, every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore we are all Vaishnavas, we are all devotees. So never ever offend anyone. And unknowingly, if you offend somebody who is in power like Agastya Muni, then you become like an elephant. He says, okay, now we become an elephant, you know. You did not follow the etiquette of receiving a muni, so therefore I am cursing you. Of course, this curse was in disguise, it was a blessing for King Indradumna, because he had many pastimes of sinful activities. So if it wasn't for the blessings from Agastya Muni, he probably would have continued into many more lifetimes. And also a blessing for all of us, because we get to see and hear that King Indradumna takes a body of an elephant, just like Maharaj Bharat takes a body of a deer, you know. But they were able to remember. They were able to remember, you know, their past lives. They were able to remember some slokas. In this particular instance, Gajendra is able to remember slokas, not just one sloka, not just one simple, you know, mantra. But he is reciting something like 30 slokas and is glorifying the Lord in every possible way. You are the supreme controller, you are the most powerful person, you are the most beautiful personality, no one is more powerful than you. And then he is giving so many other examples. And this way he is glorifying, and somewhat because he is in pain. He is in pain. How long has he been standing in the water for? 1,000 years. Try standing in the water for one day and find out what it feels like, even without a crocodile catching your leg. Even without a crocodile catching your leg. You know, even the crocodile was a king in one of his previous life. He was also cursed. He was also cursed because he was a mischievous king. So one rishi was performing some tapasya in water, and so this king went and he was pulling his leg. You know, this pulling leg business is not good for anyone. Now you use the cord, pulling the legs, you know. Please don't pull each other's legs, compliment each other. If you pull the legs, sometimes you can get a curse, and that curse can turn you into a crocodile. So this rishi cursed this king, saying that You are like a crocodile. You're coming under water and pulling my leg, so I curse you to become a crocodile. So please, no leg pulling business, very important. So in this way, Gajendra is remembering his slokas and he's calling. He is in so much pain, he's stuttering, and he's also calling up the Lord and saying that, look, my recitation is not as pure as it should be, is not as profound as it should be. However, I am glorifying you in this pitiable condition of myself here. So please come and help me. Please come and save me. And then he's in this particular sloka, he's glorifying the Lord and the Lord's incarnations. So what do we understand why there are so many different incarnations? These incarnations that the Lord is coming in, and Prabhupada is explaining, it's like a flow of river of incarnations. According to time, place and circumstances. Sometimes when you see like Janmashtami festival or Saturday or Sunday, if you're standing on the other side, you see it's like a flow of human beings. All the pilgrims are moving, And if you stand at the top of the stage and you try to count, it would be almost impossible because they're moving so fast and there's so many people, So Prabhupada is giving that analogy that this appearances of the Lord is like a flow of river of, incarnations. And why does Lord take so many incarnations? Why? You think there's nothing better to do? Right? Because he is very, very, very anxious to deliver all the living entities. He wants to free all the living entities. So again and again he's coming in different forms. Not only the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, but he wants to free every living entity, even the atheists. Even the atheists. He's, in the Vedic scriptures, there is allowance for almost every living entity to take a path whereby they can come step by step to the lotus feet of Krishna. So atheists, who are atheists basically? Atheists are theists who are trying to understand God through speculative, process. They're speculating in so many different ways. They're trying to speculate and then they're trying to understand God. So they're also trying to understand God, but by their own research method, The word that's used here by Prabhupada and also in the sloka is jnana ghanaya. Jnana means knowledge, Atheists are people who have a lot of knowledge. They're literally the kind of scientists and they acquire so much knowledge, and then they solidify that knowledge because they want to defeat the opposition, So they're using that knowledge, and then when it comes to understanding God, they're using the same mentality to try and understand God. But they do not admit it easily. Therefore, Prabhupada is explaining that it takes them many, many, many lifetimes before they can come to the stage where they will actually gradually surrender to Krishna. Lord Narasimhadev, he appears. Krishna is very anxious. He wants to appear to save his devotees. When he was in the pillar, it is described that he was very anxious. He wanted this pastime to be over. He wanted to jump out of the pillar and save Prahlad Maharaj. He actually wanted to. He's waiting. And Hiranyakasipu is doing all this slogan. He's chanting all this mantra. So that finally the Lord has to appear. And then finally Narasimha comes out. In his ferocious form he comes out. And then he battles with Hiranyakasipu. And then he delivers him, Often we say slain, but actually Lord is very merciful. Anyone he touches is immediately delivered. Prahlad Maharaj is asking, okay, if you want to give some boon, then free my father. And then Lord is explaining, your father is already in the plan ahead of you. He's already freed, he's already delivered. By simply one little touch of the Supreme Lord, immediately, just like Prahlad Maharaj comes in front of him. Before that, all the demigod comes, Lakshmi Devi comes. No one can pacify the Lord. But as soon as Prahlad Maharaj comes and prostrates obeisances, and the Lord puts his hand on Prahlad Maharaj,
He is able to chant so many mantras.
The power of mantra. We are fortunate, we don't have to memorize so many mantras. Hari Naam Sankirtan, Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Hare Naam Eva Kevalam. Just chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
We keep chanting this in every 5 minutes in Srimad Bhagavatam. It helps us to keep alert and awake.
So, Gajendra was chanting these mantras and he's glorifying the Lord. And end of each mantra, he's saying, I pay my obeisances to you. And the Lord is equally anxious, you know, to deliver Gajendra. Just like Draupadi was trying so many different things. First the husband, then the guru, then the Bhishma Pita. She's trying, she's calling out upon everyone. But the moment she calls upon Krishna, come and help me, then Krishna immediately comes, you know. So this is the power of connecting with Krishna, you know. Krishna says that mam eva ye prapadyante. The moment you surrender to me, then mayam etam tarantite. Tarantite, like turant. Immediately I can come and free you. But you must surrender. You must surrender. Krishna has so much love for us. He's simply waiting for us to take that one step. There is so much love for us. You know? Like Sanatan Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita is giving, narrating the pastimes of Gopa Kumar. How many of you heard of Gopa Kumar? Yeah. Gopa Kumar, he was one of the Sakhas, he was one of the coward boys, but somehow or another he decided to venture, you know. And so he's venturing, and then in one of his lifetimes, he has a guru who gives him a mantra. Again, see the power of mantra. He gives a mantra. By this mantra, he is able to go to any planet. Of course, he was a coward boy, so he was given this mantra by the guru. But venturing away from Krishna is not so healthy. So finally, he comes to Vishnu Loka. And then when he comes to Vishnu Loka, Sanatana Goswami is explaining that, you know, Lord Vishnu is very, very happy to see him. And equally, Gop Kumar is also very happy to see him. And then Gop Kumar feels that, like, this is the personality I was looking for, and this is the personality I want to be with. So he runs to try and hug Lord Vishnu. And the Parshadas, they stop him. No, no, no. You don't do this here. You don't hug each other here. In this planet, you don't hug the Lord. Anyway, he's happy to see Lord Vishnu, is feeling a little comfortable, so he stays there for a little while. Then he is feeling not fully satisfied. So he decides to venture more. He goes to Ayodhya. There he is also feeling very happy for a little while. But then again, he's feeling a little dissatisfied. So he goes to Dwarka. Goes to Dwarka, again same thing. You know. So then finally, by going through different planets where Krishna resides in his different, you know, pastimes, he comes to Golok Vrindavan. And Sanatana Goswami's narration there is so powerful, it's so nice. I try to do my best to explain. But Krishna sees Gopa Kumar and he runs to Gopa Kumar. And Gopa Kumar is running to Krishna. The coward boy. He's running to his coward friend. And they are in ecstasy. They are hugging each other. And they are dancing and jumping. And there's so much ecstasy that they both become unconscious and they fall down. So when they fall down, then who comes to the rescue? Balaram. Balaram comes with his kirtan party. Lord Balaram comes with his kirtan party. And then he's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this way, when Lord Balaram's kirtan party, you know, Lord Nityananda is also known, very well known for his kirtan and his kirtan, you know, leela. So this way, Gopa Kumar and Krishna, they come back to consciousness.
The point that we see here is the power of Harinam. You know, even in Golok Dham, everything that we have here is simply a minute reflection of what is out there. So the bliss that we experience on a small quantity on this planet is on a mega, unlimited quantity out there. We recently experienced the departure of Gunagrahi Swami from this planet. And we saw how Bibi Govind Swami was leading those kirtans. You know, the whole world was watching. Almost everywhere in the world people are watching, because so many devotees were putting it live on the Facebook, you know. And it was being watched, and the kirtans were being relished, you know, and those kirtans were just building. They were getting intense and more intense and more intense. So whoever was watching, they became so absorbed in the kirtans. The kirtans were so nice. And the power of kirtan, again, see, like Maharaj explained yesterday and also previous evening, that he just naturally was so keen. He had this intense desire to have Gunagrahi Swami chant with him at the last moments, because this was his final chance to, you know, to chant with a devotee who had brought him to Krishna consciousness. You know? So this is how the desire should be, that if somebody has given me Krishna consciousness, I should give my life to Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And so Maharaj was chanting so nicely. In the final moment, Gunagrahi Swami actually chanted. And then he left his planet. So wherever these advanced devotees, and when these advanced devotees also leaving the planet, there is extraordinary leela, extraordinary part times. Gajendra was also a devotee of the Lord. The crocodile was also a devotee of the Lord. You know, but those kind of extraordinary pastimes are not so easily conceivable by us. And that kind of tapasya is not meant for this age. Tapasya for this age is Harinam Sankirtan. You know? So, when Bharaj was chanting and Gunagrahi Swami left the planet, previously it appeared that he was in pain. Then he was unconscious. You know? One time Srila Prabhupada was asked, "Prabhupada, why are you in so much pain?" A point to be noted. Prabhupada explains that that's because a spiritual master takes the sins of his disciples. No? According to the scriptures, that every sinful activity every disciple performs, the spiritual master has to partake 10%. So you can imagine, if you 100 disciples, how much, you know, karma the spiritual master is withholding for you. So Prabhupada explained, this is why I'm suffering. So this is how we understand the suffering of a spiritual master when he is leaving the planet. And this also should give us a lesson, that we should learn that if we are initiated in the moment, then we should go out of our way to serve the spiritual master. Not just to withhold the vows, but to practice, implement and give the vows to others, so that we never fail in our vows. We should never ever fail in our practices. Every day think that today is my last day, and what am I going to do to please my spiritual master or to please Guru and Gauranga. This way we will not commit any offenses, and our spiritual master will not have to suffer because of our misdeeds. In this way we will not fall in the same trap as Gajendra and the crocodile, the Hoho Raja. Such important lessons for us to learn, that the Lord is anxious. He wants us to go back home, back to Godhead. But what are we doing so that He will come and save us? No? So this way we can understand Krishna's, Prabhupada was explaining this morning, that when a jiva forgets his constitutional position and falls in the lap of Maya, then the sloka that Prabhupada uses here, Also, is that yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata adhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamiham.
In this purport here, Prabhupada is putting emphasis on srijamiham, that I appear, I'm appearing again and again and again, so that every one of you have forgotten me, I will open channels for you, I'll open venues for you, so one way or another way you will get attracted to me.
Like Lord Narsingadev, not everyone is easily attracted to Lord Narsingadev. It's a very ferocious form. But because like we grow up with this consciousness of Lord Narsingadev as being the savior of the devotees, we are able to connect. But if you show somebody else a picture of Lord Narsingadev, he is your Lord, he is ripping apart somebody's stomach and is pulling out the intestines, it is almost inconceivable for anyone to understand that. Then he uses the word mudaya. Mudaya, the boar incarnation, you know. His lower species of life. But he comes as a boar. He comes as a fish. He comes as a tortoise. Why? So that we can understand that the Supreme Lord can do anything at all. He is not controlled. He is not influenced or affected by the material qualities, you know, or by the material energy that we are all under the spell of. So from this, we should try and at least, not learn 30 slokas of Gajendra Moksha, but perfect the chanting that we saw, the perfect the chanting we saw at the Samadhi, you know, Guru Granth Swami. Those of you who are close to the senior devotees, it was very touching. I had never seen anything like this before, except for when I saw Prabhupada's departure on the YouTube when I came to Krishna consciousness, and I had read Prabhupada Lilamrita, so I was very attached. And then I saw on the YouTube and I saw all the devotees were shedding tears to see Prabhupada depart from this planet. And they became so helpless. They became so helpless, you know. How we will continue without Prabhupada, you know? Similarly, when we saw at the Samadhi, Burijan Prabhu was shedding tears, Bibi Govind Swami was shedding tears. At one stage, saw that Ritadas Swami was really trying to chant intensively and trying not to shed tears, but it didn't take long for him to shed tears. The result of that is, those of you observed, is that so many devotees, even those who didn't know Gunakar Swami, they were shedding tears. You saw that, right? So many devotees were shedding tears. So this is the power of Krishna consciousness, you know. A devotee, when he departs in a very glorious way. When a devotee departs from this world, the other devotees who are still here, they glorify that personality in a very nice way. Like yesterday, we had glorification from 8 o'clock in the morning till almost like 1:30. And the glorification was so nice, it was so powerful that we could sit and listen to more and more and more of that, you know. In Vrindavan Mahima Amrita, Prabodhananda Saraswati is explaining that he says, I pay my humble, respectful obeisances to any devotee who decides to reside in Vrindavan in the last life or last years of their life to give up their body here. And he's explaining why. He's explaining that Radha and Krishna, only by Radharani's mercy that anyone who's going to leave their body is actually allowed to enter Vrindavan Dham. And when they enter Vrindavan Dham, then Radha and Krishna are already looking at all the different characteristics, all the different glories, you know, all the different activities that that devotee has performed, and deciding the eligibility. No? Just like whenever a new devotee comes, they go to our temple president and say, I'm from Mayapur, I'm from Honolulu, I'm from Kenya, whatever. And then he says, okay, what are your qualities? And he discusses. Then he says, okay, now you go to Ramakant Prabhu, or you go to Trikalage Prabhu, or you go to Ganapati, wherever he feels that person is most fit to go for. Likewise, Radha and Krishna are also discussing what part of the Leela that particular soul is going to be eligible for. Just think. So, from that we can understand how fortunate Gunagiri Swami was. You know, that he decided that he will just stay here until he leaves his body. If Radharani's blessing was not there, he could not have stayed there. Radharani's blessing was there totally. And after we heard his glorification yesterday, we all felt so blissful. Just think what kind of glorification Radha and Krishna must have been doing and making him so eligible to go into their pastimes. Vrindavan is a very, very, very powerful, you know, place on this planet. We are all very, very fortunate to be here. Please do not take it lightly. Avoid any kind of leg pulling. It should only be glorification of each other. Like one of the mornings we read Prabhupada's quote and he said, Prabhupada says the difference between Golokdham and here is. Do you know what the difference is? He says here, everyone is looking down upon each other to make themselves look better. You know, that, oh, this devotee is not doing this, that devotee is not doing this. You know, or he's fat, ugly, whatever. But in Golokdham, every devotee is looking at each other and looking at the glories of the other devotees. And by looking at the glories of the other devotees and glorifying other devotees, they also uplift themselves. Because Krishna is very happy when he hears a devotee glorify another devotee. Hence we had such nice glorifications yesterday. And thank you for organizing that glorification yesterday. It was very wonderful. So, I'd like to thank everyone for coming to Bhagavatam class. We have a few minutes. If anyone has any comments or questions. Nice question. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. Right. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. So the mind is very flickering. So we flickered away in the first place, just a momentarily flicker, and we landed up on the planet here. So it's not like we were not connected to Krishna. We were connected to Krishna, but just a little flicker, and then immediately Maya grabbed us. So same thing, again the Lord is coming here. So many personalities saw all the different incarnations, you know, and some of them are very, very close. Just like when we put up a drama, like if Ramakant Prabhu puts up a drama, you know, in Diwali time. Okay. So he puts up a drama and then all the devotees are participating. They go on the stage and they participate and they come off the stage. But hardly maybe one or two devotees will take that drama very seriously and imbibe, implant it into their heart that actually this was not just a drama, it's a pastime of the Lord and I'm so fortunate to participate in this drama and take some juice out of it and deploy it in my life. The rest of them, they don't do that. So similarly, when the Lord comes, he is doing his best. See, if the Lord can easily say that, yes, okay, now I'm just going to put a spell all over you and then you are just going to be Krishna conscious and go back home, back to Godhead. But then, most of us will say, you are taking our independence away from us. You tell us you have independence, but now you're taking my independence away from me. So he gives us that independence. And that is the time we decide to flicker away or to flicker to the Lord. That's how I think.
Somebody commented that it's told in the Shastra that one should celebrate festivals and spiritual occasions, just like yesterday we were glorifying the Sanctan spirit and the missionary spirit of Gundaraja Maharaj, and for all those who were fortunate to be here and to actually genuinely hear. Because why are we here? To achieve perfection. So if someone is avoiding coming to these gatherings or festivals or glorifications, then they're really missing out. So it's really important that all devotees should attend these functions.
Yes.
It's actually told in the scripture, you must celebrate the Mastami, Radhastami, Vaishnava appearance, disappearance. So we're fortunate in Vrindavan, we're very conscious of all these appearance, disappearance. Other places, when they hear about it, oh, it's okay, it's this Vaishnava Thakur and that Vaishnava
Thakur.
Okay, what's for breakfast? You know, let's get out of life. You know, but the thing is, the importance of hearing and attending these programs is very important for one's spiritual living.
That's a very nice comment that, you know, attending these glorification programs, actually when there is glorification, there is so much nectar flowing. The devotees go out of their way to give the nectar. So, we have to be very unfortunate to think it's okay for me not to attend, you know. It's just like, how often do you think it's okay for me not to go to the feast? How many of you didn't turn up and said, okay, I don't need to go and have the feast yesterday, right? In fact, when we finished the program here in Vienna, the prasadam hall was completely packed. So that shows the majority of us are still in so much illusion, so much ignorance, you know. We are on the lap of Ichmaya, although we are in Vrindavan. We should be going to serve prasadam, not to eat prasadam. No? The real nectar comes when you actually do service. The real nectar is here when devotees are being glorified. Remember, when devotees are being glorified, Krishna is very, very happy. Not when devotees are hiding from the glorification. So you see, entirely in your hands, whether you want that nectar to bless you or you want to miss out on the nectar. Try missing out on the prasadam one time, maybe that way we will remember.
Buddha means foolish,
yeah, lawless, yeah, yeah.
So in this verse it is mentioned Krishna as a Buddha means useless.
But this is Gajendra's way of glorifying him, that to bestow mercy even on low class people, you come in the lowest form of life. You're coming in the lowest form of life to show that you are everywhere. You're in every living entity. You know, Suridham Sarva Bhutanam. So even if you're in a pig's body, he as Paramatma is residing there. But in this particular case, he comes as a, you know, pig or a boar incarnation to show that even in the lowest forms of life, when he appears, he can do mystical things. He can do amazing things that we generally cannot do, even if we are in intelligent class.
And then the
But Prabhupada gives a nice explanation. If you see, the form of the Lord is an animal, such as the boar. He makes it very clear. But then also in the Prabhupada, he is explaining that the Krishna or the Lord is not influenced by all the material energies. He is above all the material energies. So that's why when he turns up as a boar, it's a different, you know, different consciousness and different spirit and different power
as to an ordinary boar that you see is in the Dukar Lokas, swimming in the gutters of stool and everything. The Krishna is swimming in the ocean. And he's, you know, if he wanted to, just like he came as a dwarf incarnation, he just used his one foot to put on the whole planet, or onto, you know, the whole universe. So if he wanted, he could just have put one hand out and said, okay, earth, planet, come back to where you exist. But he wanted to perform Leela. So, and like he's saying, time, place and circumstances, he decides what he wants to come as, what he wants to do. And it's like a flow of river. His incarnations are like a flow of river. Because we only know of the appearances on this planet. But then we also understand from scriptures that every moment there is a Janmasmi festival taking on some planet somewhere. Thank you for the questions and comments. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gauru Premanandi.